Lord Christ, come. Come near now. Encounter us and help us to experience you in the way that we need to experience that today. Come near. Help us to know through song and word and sharing in meal your deep and abiding presence with us that comes amidst all those places where we try to lock you away. But you come near, and you bless, and you gift, and you call us your own. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's no lesson from the Bible that I've preached on more than this one. From John chapter 20, known as the story of doubting Thomas. And you would think that after preaching on this for years, it is the text that's always the week after Easter. Maybe that's why it's low Sunday. People are like, well, I've heard that one before, so they don't come back. But the reality is, you'd think that I'd probably heard and seen everything that you've heard and seen, but that's the beauty of the gift of Scripture, brothers and sisters. It is the living Word of God. And this week, as I was studying, something came to my mind through reading the Scripture that I had never thought of. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to have everything that anyone remembers about you for the rest of your life to be defined by one moment? One moment. One experience. Well, that might be so bad. I started thinking about it for myself, and I said, well, if I was judged by the time that I hit the game-winning home run to win the district championship, and that all you knew about me was Dave was the hero, well, that would be pretty cool. Except the year before, in the same district championship, I walked in the winning run and was the GOAT. Could have been either one. Or moments like, oh, yes, well, how about that time that sermon was so awesome, everybody stood up and thought it was great. Or maybe I'll be defined by the time that people walked out going, what the heck was he talking about? I have no idea. You know, the reality is, would you like to be defined by one moment of your life? Or are you more than either your best day or your worst? Well, throughout Scripture, we have a character by the name of Thomas. And the Bible tells us that they call him Thomas, who was also known as the twin. That's what the Scripture says, it's twin. But throughout history, he's known as Doubting Thomas. But did you know this is the third time in Scripture that we have Thomas speak? The first is in chapter 11. And in chapter 11, which is one of the famous Scripture chapters in the Gospel of John, chapter 11 is the story of Lazarus. And that, in those moments, Jesus, who was not with Lazarus when he died, needed to go and see him. But there was fear and trepidation in doing that, not only by who might see them, but also worrying about other things. And so Jesus is going, well, we need to go. And Thomas is the one who speaks up. He says, I will go with you, Jesus. I will go with you and die. So the first time we ever hear from this Jesus, from this Thomas person, is he is willing to saddle up with Jesus and go into the hard and do the hard work of being with people in the midst of fearful situations, even when people have died. The second time we hear about Jesus is when they are, or from Thomas, is when they are in the upper room in chapter 14. And often we hear this reading from funerals, where Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. There are many places, there are many rooms in my Father's house. If it were not true, I would not have gone and prepared a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will take you to myself. And where I am going, you will go also, and you shall know the way. And then Thomas says what? Thomas says that, how can we know the way? Tell us. And then Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So Thomas wants to be as good a disciple. He wants to be as faithful a disciple as he can. So you have a man who's willing to partner with Jesus and go with him when he has to face Lazarus' family and the trepidation that comes with that. He is willing to say, Jesus, I want to know that way. I want to be with you forever. These are the first two things that we hear from Thomas. And those aren't doubting, are they? As a matter of fact, it's Thomas being pretty faithful. And then we get to the story where he has been coined Doubting Thomas. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? That they are locked up in this room, and we are told they are locked up in this room for what? For fear of the Jews. But Thomas isn't there. Where is Thomas? Nobody knows. Maybe he was afraid somewhere else, but he wasn't afraid with them. Might it be that this Thomas, this guy who had been full of support for Jesus before in multiple ways, was willing to still be out there? The reason they were locked up is because why? People would knew who they were. They knew that they walked with Jesus. Well, all we know is that Thomas wasn't with them. Thomas was at least out there amidst the fear and amidst the possibility of being named as one of Jesus' followers. Maybe courageous Thomas or tough Thomas works, but instead it's doubting Thomas. But you know, perhaps it is the fact that him being doubting Thomas that connects him to us maybe even more deeply. Now think about it. If you had given your life to Jesus, if you had said you will go with him into difficult situations, and then you had these people saying, hey, guess what? He's alive. Would your first reaction be, okay, great, where is he? Or would it be, whoa, wait a minute. Honestly, what would your first reaction be? Does it seem rational, reasonable, that Thomas is like, look, let me see the hands that were pierced. Let me see the side that was stabbed. And I'll believe that. But I'm not sure I can trust y'all. Does that sound reasonable? Could someone who in that moment didn't trust the word. Heck, these disciples, think about it. When the women came back and told them that Jesus had been resurrected, did they all say, oh, great, that's wonderful, where is he? These disciples, they didn't believe either, did they? So why are they not the doubting disciples? Instead, you got Peter, who denied Jesus three times. He's not called Peter the denier, is he? What is he called? Peter the rock. James and John, who fell asleep in Gethsemane, they're not called sleepy eyes James and John, are they? No, they're called the sons of thunder. So you have Peter the rock, James and John, the sons of thunder, and doubting Thomas. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Especially if Thomas didn't behave any differently than they did. But see, Jesus does something pretty awesome. Jesus comes near, and he meets Thomas in his doubt. He's not afraid of Thomas's doubt. He's not afraid of Thomas's wanting a little bit of connection with Jesus. He's not afraid and worried about that at all. Jesus comes near and says, here, touch my hands He offers it before Thomas even asks. Because Jesus knows what he needs. He knows what we need in the midst of our doubt. He knows what we need in the midst of our uncertainty. He knows what we need in the midst of our shame and brokenness and pain. And so he comes near and he offers his own woundedness to us. And that is the beautiful thing. For in his woundedness, we are healed, Isaiah teaches. And in his woundedness, he connects with us in such a way that we, like Thomas, can then say, "My Lord and my God." For when we have been fully seen by our Lord in our doubt and our hurts and our uncertainty and our shame, when we know clearly we have been seen by God and counted as love, then, friends, that changes the world. Because that's what Thomas did. Thomas then went, tradition tells us, to India. And he brought the Christian message to them. The doubter. The one who forever is known by that one moment in his life instead of so many others. But perhaps there's poetic justice in that, in this way. Because when someone like Thomas, who was so faithful and so courageous and so strong, who was an evangelist to a whole nother country, when that one can have doubts, well, maybe for the rest of us, we now have someone whom we can connect to and see how God worked through him. You see, all these people who have churches named after them are no different than you and me. They have the same hurts and wounds and struggles. But Jesus knew their wounds and struggles just as he knows yours. And he comes near in those places that we try to lock him away, out of fear and anxiety and uncertainty. And Jesus comes near. And he shows you his wounds. And they match your own. And then you are brought peace. And you are healed. In Jesus' name, amen.